Let's start that all over again. Hey, this is Tony Brewer. I'm the Keto Christian Podcaster, and today you're listening to Cogitations, and we're going to talk about cross-contamination. The word cogitations comes from Daniel chapter 7, verse 28. Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We are not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And of course, COVID-19 has us thinking about all different kinds of things. I watched a video, a nurse put on a pair of rubber gloves, and she had some goo in a paper plate, and she showed how very easily you could cross-contaminate. It didn't matter if you wore the rubber gloves or not. Let me get this down. It didn't matter whether you wore the rubber gloves or not. If you're you saw what I just did. For those of you that are watching this live, I actually just touched my eye because my eye was itching. That's something that I do without thinking. Now, let's say that I was out in public and I had a pair of rubber gloves on and I had been shopping. It doesn't matter if I have the rubber gloves on. If I would have touched my eye with those rubber gloves, I might as well have not had any rubber gloves on at all. Sometimes we forget about these things. You know, my wife and I were in Kroger, and we were doing some grocery shopping, and we saw some folks, a mother and a daughter, in Kroger, and oh my, they had rubber gloves on, but they were shopping, they were handling merchandise, they were texting on their phone, then they would raise their phone up to their face, and they would talk on their phone. And of course, you know, at that point, you're just like, really, there's no, you know, you as the video said, you do what you have to do in order to feel safe. But those rubber gloves are not helping you one iota. You might as well have your naked skin touching everything that everybody else has touched. So that caused me to have a thought. We need to be mindful and we need to be careful of cross-contamination, even when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our Christianity. And there is a passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about such things. I'm trying to get into the live stream where I can see your comments. We have about 20 people watching in the Bay Church or in the Added of the Church of Christ, Acts 247 Facebook page, but I cannot see you. I don't know if Facebook is having a problem because of all of the traffic due to everybody being in quarantine and being online, or it's just something here with my signal. So if you're commenting and I'm not acknowledging your presence and your comment, I'm not doing that on purpose. So just re-up your comment. If you would, please like, subscribe, and share. We're on Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcast with our Cogitations podcast. So it would really help if you would subscribe and follow and listen to those podcasts there. It looks like Solo Church of Christ is on. Says, "Hello, brother." Hello there. That's in Covington, Tennessee. Good to see you. Let me go to the book of Haggai. I mean, not Haggai. Yeah, Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. Let's look at this principle in scripture. Chapter 2, verse 10. In fact, we're going to see the principle in scripture in the New Testament as well. But I think it's very interesting the way the prophet Haggai poses this question to the children of Israel after they'd come back from the captivity. Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. "In the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in his skirt, in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No." So here we have this principle of cross-contamination kind of being breached. If I have something that is not contaminated, if I have something that is clean and I touch something that is neither clean nor unclean, in other words, if I touch a piece of bread, that bread is not sanctified. It's just a regular piece of bread that I have permission to eat. And of course, I am speaking from the perspective of a Jew under the old covenant. So if I'm just, this is part of my table bread, whatever. And I'm bearing this holy meat in this garment. If I touch that bread with that garment, is it also holy? Well, no, that doesn't transfer because, well, when it comes to germs, it's really holiness is the lack of something. Purity, all that's on that meat is the meat itself. It's been sanctified and set apart for God. All of the impurities are gone off of it ceremoniously. Maybe both of those words work. But anyway, now think about germs and everything. If I have a sterile implement and I touch something that is not sterile, then what I touch that is not sterile is not sterilized by that which is sterile. Okay? Now that may have been hard to to follow. But I'm gonna say it again, so try to hang with me here. And so if I have for instance, if my hands are clean, if my hands are sterile, and I touch this coffee cup, which sadly is empty. I should have brewed me a cup of coffee before the Cogitations podcast. Shame on me. Well, whatever's on the outside of this cup is now transferred to my hands. So now my hands are no longer sterile. All right. Think about what those doctors have to do whenever they scrub in for a surgery. They scrub and they scrub and they scrub and they hold their hands up like this. And of course, if you're listening to this on the podcast, just try to use your imaginations. I'm holding my hand out in front of me, and the nurses, the support staff, actually hold those gloves out and they put their hands in those gloves, and they never touch anything with those hands, and those gloves make a protective barrier between the things in the surgery gallery, in the operating room. In the theater, in the surgery theater, I think that's the proper term. You may have to Google that. And your hands. I cannot have sterile hands and touch something that is not sterile and think that my hands are still going to be sterile, nor is what I touch going to be sterilized. All right? It always takes a cleansing agent. Hello there, Tracy Lloyd from Summerfield, Oklahoma. Tracy, you've become a regular listener. I'm so glad to see you on. Brandon Brunch, hello there. And Jonathan Exum says, whoops, that was me. I forgot to switch back to my personal account. That's very good. It's good that you're helping Solo Church of Christ grow a social media presence. Good job. So if those of you that are listening, go over and like the Solo Church of Christ Facebook page once you're done here. Now, let's keep reading in Haggai chapter 2 because he poses the question that we've just, in a very... roundabout manner, or I guess a verbose manner, if you will, discussed or illustrated. Thus saith the Lord, asked the prophets concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? Well, the priest answered and said, no. Then, verse 13 of chapter 2 of Haggai, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So right there is the principle of cross-contamination. If I have, hey there, Karen Dower, good to see you. If I'm unclean and I touch something that is clean, then my uncleanliness actually contaminates that thing which is clean. That's the idea of cross-contamination. I think it's very interesting that the Bible does not claim itself to be a book of science, but every time scientific principles and law and what have you are shown in the Bible, they are absolutely correct. It's just like the Bible is not a geography book, but every time the Bible speaks of geography, it is correct. The Bible is not a history book, but every time the world history is showcased in the Bible, it is correct. And here is one of those times where those men of old would not have understood about cross-contamination. In fact, if you want to do a little research in Apologetics, Apologetics Press is a very good place to go for this. Kyle Budd, in fact, writes a lot, has written a lot of articles and uses this illustration in his lectures about back around the turn of the century, I think it was, there was a doctor that was trying to figure out in these birthing wards why all these women were dying. And he figured out that the women that were dying were being contaminated, like cross contamination was happening. And he decided to implement a hand washing protocol. And of course he was ridiculed over that. But the birthing wards where they were washing their hands, the death rate went down dramatically. In fact, to almost nothing. So we can see that this is scientific foreknowledge. And so true is it that if you have unclean hands and you touch something that is clean, or even touch something that is just neutral, when you're done touching it, that is unclean. But if you have sterile hands or clean hands, you cannot cleanse something that is not sterile. All right. So that shows that from the book of Haggai. And we can go on and read the conclusion, the lesson that Haggai was teaching. Verse 14, "Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord." Now listen to this. This is a hard pill to swallow. "And so," meaning unclean, "is every good work of their hands, and that which they offer is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before the stone, a stone was laid upon the stone of the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to a press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, and there were but 20, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and with all the labors of your hands. Yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord." Anyway, what Haggai is trying to say here is that the children of Israel were contaminated. They were unclean. All of the things that they were doing was unclean. Even the things that they were doing that God wanted them to do, because they had fallen victim to cross contamination. Think about that in the Lord's church. You know, a very, very controversial statement. I made a very controversial statement from a sermon, and I got a lot of pushback from it. I made the statement that no one on earth can do good works unless you're in the Lord's church. And I use so-called Mother Mary, the saint of Calcutta. She was in India and she was keeping children from dying of starvation. And what people were saying was, well, how can you say that Mother Teresa, sorry, Mother Mary, I knew that sounded wrong, Mother Teresa, so-called Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, the saint of Calcutta, she was keeping children alive. She was providing food, but she wasn't doing a good work. In fact, all of her works were abominable because those works were tainted. They were unclean, just like the works of the children of Israel were unclean because they had fallen victim to cross-contamination. Let me explain. We have to take a different view of the world as Christians. How was it that the works of Mother Teresa, so-called Mother Teresa, were unclean or were dirty or were not good? They were works of iniquity. Why is that? You have a child that's starving to death. Now, it is a tragedy if that child starves to death, and if that child dies. But what's more tragic? An innocent child dying or an innocent child being kept alive by the likes of Mother Teresa and then being taught the Catholic faith and then spending an eternity in hell because that child was led down the wrong path into a denomination where there is no hope, nor help, nor guidance, nor blood of Jesus? I would say it's a far worse tragedy for that child to live than if he were to go ahead and die. And that's, again, very brutal, very difficult to consider. And it really, most Christians that don't like it, they don't like it because they don't like the ramifications of it. It puts the onus upon Christians to get out there and be more active in the world with benevolence than the people who claim Christendom who are actually in the realm of darkness. We need to be better, all right? We need to do works that are good that will actually be good. Yes, it is a hard truth. And in fact, let me go to Matthew chapter 7 before we go much further. And I'm going to illustrate this point again. I use the word iniquity on purpose because that's the word that Jesus uses. Let's see. Oh, that's Matthew 8. I'm going to say Matthew 7. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's miraculous, by the way. And in thy name have cast out devils? That's miraculous. And in thy name done many wonderful works? Those are miraculous. So this is not even people who were doing false works. These were people who were doing works with power from the Holy Ghost. Notice what Jesus will say unto them. Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They were not doing good works. They were doing works of iniquity. Would that be iniquitous works? I don't know. I think works of iniquity sounds a little bit easier to say. So they were doing works of iniquity. Mother Teresa was not a worker of good. She was a worker of iniquity. Now, let me tell you something. That means that you and I, as the Lord's church, needs to be out in the community and be seen as being a worker of good, so that those who work iniquity will not have a chance to spread their damnable wares. All right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and talk about this idea of cross-contamination. Oh, this is so difficult, Christians. If any of you elders or gospel preachers or Bible class teachers, if y'all ever want to make some enemies, just really exegete 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14, 2 Corinthians. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, the obvious answer there is none, zero. Paul is giving some very pointed instruction on how we are to live in this world and behave. He's talking about cross-contamination. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, you can do a word study of Belial and go all the way back to the Old Testament and the long ago, even in the days of Samuel, were the reputation of the sons of Belial. They were worthless. They were wicked. They were unrighteous. Well, that reputation of A son of Belial is one who's worthless, a fool, an unrighteous person. So what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. Now, I want to make a statement here that this is not talking about marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty stout when it comes to giving advice for parents on rearing their children and teaching their children how to pick a mate. I think that we should really focus on teaching our children not to pick a mate from anywhere else other than the Lord's church. In other words, if you want to date my daughter, you got to be a faithful member of the Lord's church. If you want to date my son, you got to be a faithful member of the Lord's church. And a lot of people say, well, Tony, how can you enforce that? Well, I can. You know, that's just all I'll say about it. If you want some help on how to enforce it in your household, give me a call and I'll tell you how I would enforce it. So this is not talking about marriage. This is talking about being coupled together in a mentor-mentee relationship, a teacher-student relationship, or in some kind of fellowship relationship with the world. He goes on to say in verse 16, or to write, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know what? We go all the way back. I'm going to put my marker here, and I'm going to see if I can find on the fly. I think it's Numbers chapter 5. It's tickling my memory, and you know what? This is one of those things where I may prove myself to be uninspired. Well, it's certainly not the end of Numbers chapter 5. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go look in the book of Numbers. And let's see if I'm thinking about Leviticus real quick. Again, I have no shame. It could be Leviticus chapter 5, but I was thinking it was Numbers. Nope. So in the book of Numbers, in the book of Leviticus, both of those books, there are several places where God talks about cross-contamination, cleanliness and uncleanliness, and the reason that you are supposed to take sin outside the camp is because the Lord your God walk in your camp, and I can't walk in it when it's unclean. Does that make sense? So go find those. Those are very good, and maybe we can, at the end of the podcast, I can look and see, try to find those verses. But I want to get back to 2 Corinthians. So what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, now listen to this, wherefore, quarantine yourselves. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice that. Come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing. Why is he telling us to not touch the unclean thing? Because if we touch the unclean thing, we ourselves will be made unclean. So we have to keep a wall up. We have to have a barrier between us and the world. How do we do that? What are the implications of that? Well, it's not literal, because I'm gonna go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and show you, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and show you an interesting concept. Chapter 5, verse 9, Paul writes, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Oh, that sounds a whole lot like what he's going to write later about come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. But who's he talking about? Well, listen, verse 10, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. So I'm having a picture painted here where whenever Paul says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, be ye separate, that we're talking about a metaphysical separation. All right. So this COVID-19 virus provides a really good illustration of how something that is unclean can cause, or something that is unclean can cause us to be unclean when we touch it. In a metaphysical way, if we don't come out from the world and we touch that unclean thing, we are going to be unclean metaphysically. Another way of saying that is we are going to be unclean spiritually. What is it? What can we do to separate ourselves from the world? We are in the world and we need to be in somewhere else. What could that be? Well, you know, I think about the verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul talks about having been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I think about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Now, all of us can quote 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But verse 20 talks about how God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Noah and his family, 8 souls, were saved through water or by water. Some modern translations say saved from the flood by the water. And as we discussed, Aaron Brock and I discussed on the We Talk Truth podcast yesterday, that seemed so odd to me when I first read it. I thought they were saved from the flood or from the water, not by the water. Well, what did the water do to Noah and his family? It lifted them up. It separated them from that creation of God, that sin-sick earth, and it translated them into a brand new earth, a new state of existence. Well, that's the way baptism saves us. Do you want to come out from among them? Well, we need to be buried with him in baptism. We need to be raised again to walk in newness of life. And then it can be said of us that we have been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Karen says, wow, this principle goes into the spiritual as well as the physical. I've never thought of that. Tracy Lloyd says, many times we fall short of our religious counterparts in doing good, Galatians 6:10. Yeah, don't dub. Come on, Tony, Galatians 6:10. Be not weary in well-doing. Nope, that ain't right. I told you I'm not inspired. I don't know why I try so hard to prove it. I know you believe me. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Yeah, be not weary in well-doing is verse 9. I love that. Ability plus opportunity equals obligation. And incidentally, that's 1 John chapter 3. If any man sees his brother in need, if any man hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need and openeth up not his bowels of compassion unto him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, that's basically, if you have the opportunity, if you see your brother in need, and you have, if you're blessed in this world's good, you have the ability, then you have the obligation, the responsibility to help him. We need to do this. We need to be seen out there more and more. I don't know how to do that better than what we're doing now in Little Old Bay, Arkansas, but that's one reason why we have such a good eldership, and we got good folks that are trying their best. Karen Dower, I want to reread your comment because I want to talk about the protection. What would be the rubber glove, as it were? So this principle goes into the spiritual as well as the physical. I've never thought of that. Absolutely. And the principle of cross-contamination, if I'm in the world metaphysically. You know, I have a physical existence and I have a metaphysical existence. I mean, there's scriptures. Well, first in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. You are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. I am in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I have an existence in the spiritual realm, but how do I keep that existence pure? It's the barrier is the blood of Christ. I'm washed in the blood. I think of 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. He that hath fellowship, he that walketh in the light as he is in the light, has fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that's fellowship with God. If we're going to have fellowship with God and not fellowship with the world, we've got to walk in the light. Now, the darkness cannot encroach upon this light. We have to actually leave the light. And if we leave the light, then we will be contaminated with the world. I think about Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. It's so interesting. Paul says that you were once darkness, but now are ye light. He doesn't say you once were in darkness. He says you once were darkness, but now, he doesn't say you are in the light. He says now are ye light. That is a testament to the transformative nature of the gospel of Christ. All right. Where is that verse? I think, yeah, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's amazing. That's a testament to the transformative nature of the gospel of Christ and the blood of Jesus. Karen Dower, so the blood of Jesus is like a pair of surgical gloves for our soul. It keeps us from being contaminated by the world as long as we are wearing them. There's your key. As long as you're wearing them, which you want to keep wearing them, walk in the light as he is in the light. Don't leave the light. I use this, if you'll notice, I shaved my head. 4 or 5 years ago, I was in the shower and I, through some weird happenstance, circumstance, I had my head down and my eyes closed and I had to turn around 2 or 3 times. And it was hot and I was breathing in that chlorinated chemically water. I got dizzy and I grabbed the shower stall, what I thought was the shower stall wall to protect, to steady myself. But it was the shower curtain, and it gave way, and I fell down. And, man, I broke the shower rod. I hurt my knee. I hurt my pride. It sounded like a cannon going off. But guess what? I didn't get dirty. Makes sense? I didn't get dirty. Why? I was never out of that flowing water. Now, if I'd have got out of that shower and rolled around in the mud, the place where the water flows is in the shower, but I'm standing there dirty. So I got to get back into the shower. That's the way it is. The Jesus, the bread of life discourse, it's from Jesus is where the bread and the water is. It's from Jesus is where the blood flows. So we got to get back into that fountain of blood, that fountain water, you know. Tracy Lloyd says, I wore a mask into Brahms. Oh, Brahms, that must be a store where you're from. I wore a mask into Brahms to get bread earlier. I wear the armor of God in the world. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, first off, you got to gird it with truth. You got the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Hold on. Let's dress this man. The helmet of righteousness, girded about with truth, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. You've got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of Satan, and you have the sword of the Spirit. Incidentally, just as an aside, it's not the sword of the Spirit as the sword made out of the Spirit. It's literally the Spirit's sword. It's the sword owned by the Spirit. These are the Spirit's words. Man, this is good stuff. Anyway, so that keeps me safe. That helps me from being contaminated by the world. Think about this. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's see if it's 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Absolutely. Tracy Lloyd says, I'm so sorry y'all don't have a Brahms. Hey, man, I'm with you. There's a local market called Bill's Fresh Market, and I absolutely love it. I know my butcher by name. I know the cashiers. I mean, it's just really, it's local. It's called Bill's Cost Plus. And what they do is they figure out their cost and they with what it takes to get it on the shelf, and they add 10% to it, and then you do 10% at the register, and it just, it's really, really good. I really like it. But anyway, guys, I think I've kind of fleshed out this idea of cross contamination. So let's try to sum up. Number one, when you're out in public, if you choose to wear rubber gloves, that is great, but don't be lulled into a false sense of security. Whenever you take those rubber gloves and you handle that meat in the meat department, you handle those boxes of rice down that aisle, and you handle those cans, and then you take your phone and you text and you put it up to your ear and talk. Well, it doesn't matter if you've got gloves on or not. You have spread germs everywhere. So just be careful. The best line of defense is wash, wash, wash. And isn't that kind of funny? Well, no, that's not funny. It's not what I mean at all. I never mean humorous when I say funny. Isn't that very interesting that the best line of defense against sin, against the wiles of Satan, is to wash? I think about what that servant told Naaman. If the man of God had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Why not, he said, wash and be clean. Why not just go wash and be clean? Wash and be clean, folks. And that's in your physical and that's in your metaphysical. When we are baptized into Christ, we're separated from this world. And if we stay in Christ, we are constantly walking in the light. There's nothing in this world that can harm us. Nothing. And I just had five or six more scriptures come into my mind. I want you to go read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you ask yourself, what in the world can this world, what in the world? That don't make any sense. What can this world do to me to cause me to be lost as long as I am in the hands of God? As long as I'm in the fold, as long as I don't ever leave, how in the world, how in the world can there anything come against me that would cause me to be contaminated? And I could talk another 30 minutes from Romans chapter 8 about this very subject. So I appreciate y'all very much. Stay safe. Don't lick any doorknobs. Tracy Lloyd says, great lesson. Thanks for your efforts. I'm an old math teacher who preaches and serves as an elder. Being out of school and mostly home, I get to watch these more. Thanks again. Listen, you don't know how much it helps me to get messages like that. Thank you so much. And you keep plowing away, and I thank you for your service as a shepherd. It is very difficult, and it's a very difficult time right now. To all the shepherds who are listening to this, just please understand, nobody's ever shepherded a flock through a pandemic like this. There's a lot of first, and just follow the word of God and do what it says, and you'll be all right. And to those of you who are being shepherded by shepherds, make their job easy. Do what they say. Listen to them. They have the authority over you to to ask you to do certain things. Don't make their job hard. All right. Thank you so much, Kenneth Wayne, to that rhetorical question. Said nothing. That's right. Nothing can cause us to be contaminated as long as we're being constantly washed in that life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to figure out how to be washed in that life-giving stream, contact me. Contact some of these people that's in this live stream. Send me a message. Contact your local Church of Christ. We'll help you any way we can. Social distancing and CDC guidelines notwithstanding, if a fella called me and said, Tony, I want you to baptize me, I would baptize him and not think twice about it. That is a good, that's worthy of saying, I have faith in God, I'm going to go baptize this fella. We don't need to tempt fate or tempt God frivolously, but that would be one where I would easily say we're gonna throw social distancing to the wind and we're gonna baptize this fella into Christ. Listen, I got to get off here. I appreciate you so much for spending time with me. God bless you. Thank you very much. Like, subscribe, and share. www.patreon.com/nearchurches, and you can help us out monetarily. God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cynthia Songer, thank you for watching from Dunlap, Tennessee. Thank you.